Hey, everybody. Thanks again for tuning in to the Relate and Communicate podcast with your girl, Denedria Banks. As always, if you want to reach me, hit me up at relate2019@gmail.com. Again, that is relate2019@gmail.com. On May 26th, the nation was introduced to the name George Floyd. On May 26th, the nation began to learn the story of George Floyd's death, followed by video images of his last minutes of life. On May 26th, the nation saw cities unravel as their residents struggled to come to terms with yet another senseless death of another black man at the hands of police officers. On May 26th, a call for change was made, and in the days since, the world answered, taking a unified stance, and the message, no more, has been sent. As for many of you listening to my voice right now, this has been a very challenging time for me. Not only am I working to keep my emotions in check, I have worked to be available to assist my friends and loved ones as they struggle to process the world events. And I've had to remain even to maintain my ability to honor my role as a therapist, providing compassion, care, guidance, and honoring each client's right to self-determination. Yes, this has been a very challenging week. Due to the recent state of the world, there were many times in the past week in which I had to choose what type of stance I was going to take as a black woman while engaging with my clients. I've said it before and I'll say it again, people show you who they are in times of crisis. Prior to the COVID-19 pandemic and the recent events of the civil unrest, many of my clients were already struggling with anxiety and depression. So adding additional layers of stress have not helped in most cases. When people are angry, sad, frustrated, scared, they lash out, period. For this podcast, I choose to focus on the positive interactions of the week, the way in which I choose to and felt comfortable in initiating change, having a simple conversation. Let me be clear, I did not initiate discussions on racism or racial discrimination with any of my clients. However, what I am sharing next comes because a client initiated discussion and it's safe to engage, but it was also best to do so. The first conversation was with a 41-year-old Caucasian male. When we began our session, he stated, "I'm just frustrated." Initially, I braced myself because, you know, I had no idea what he might say next. And yet what followed was a sense of vulnerability. He stated, "I'm frustrated because I don't know what to do. I want to help, but I don't know what to do. I know I'm seen by the world as a white man of privilege, but I still know that what's happening around us is wrong." As he processed his feelings, he became tearful. It was that moment, in that time, that I decided we should have a simple conversation. First, I thanked him for acknowledging the fact something is wrong. I also thanked him for recognizing something needs to be done. Next, I advised him on what I thought he could do, have a simple conversation. As I acknowledged, I did not know the demographic makeup of his social circle or the mindset of his social circle. I challenged him to have a conversation with another if he is approached by or overheard another stating something negative about the life of George Floyd, the protesters, or any other black life who fell victim to the injustices of the system. I advised him to have a conversation educating people in his circle about the message at hand should he overhear members of his circle discounting, dismissing, or compartmentalizing the systemic racism as, "Oh, you know, that's just their problem." I challenged him to have a simple conversation because, using his definition, remind you, I said, a white man of privilege can gain audience with another white man or woman of privilege. And in that conversation, you have an opportunity to change or expand their perspective. My client thanked me for my feedback, expressing appreciation for the ability to have such a discussion. When I disconnected, I felt heavy, but glad we had a simple conversation. The next was with a 36-year-old Latin American female. She informed me she was confronted by a friend regarding her use of digital blackface. She became tearful and apologetic, questioning if she had been racist this whole time. In that moment, and in the next moment, I felt it was appropriate to have a simple conversation. First, we processed the intentions of her heart when she sent the digital images. Full disclosure here, family. I did not ask, nor did she offer examples of the images she previously sent. We then explored other options to send picture responses, i.e. using the Bitmoji app, creating an avatar that represents one's own ethnic and physical descriptions. Through tears, my client stated, "I didn't think I could talk to you about this because I know that you are a strong Black woman." My response, healing begins with a simple conversation. After much more processing, I left her with something my godfather used to always remind me of. The one with the most knowledge is the most responsible. So with that, family, I simply asked her to ponder the following. So now that you have been made aware, what will you do next? Because family, as we all know, it's what one does with the knowledge that makes a difference. The last conversation I'll share was initiated from a personal call I received. The caller, who is a Caucasian male, is a chaplain, is a friend, is a former coworker. He called with the intention to check in to learn how I was doing in the midst of the worldly events. Honestly, I welcomed the call. I welcomed the opportunity to have a safe space to just reflect on me and my feelings in the moment. I began by stating my truth. I just feel sad and hurt. His next question was, "What's making you so sad?" Now, before you scoff, family, hear me. He was opening the door to have a conversation. In that one question, he said to me, "I'm here. Help me understand." Now, I know many of you are probably still like, "Are you serious? What are you sad about?" But again, had I taken that stance, I would have closed the door to having a simple conversation. So I told him my story, family. I was 18 during the Rodney King riots, second semester at Cal State University Northridge. And the pain of seeing those initial images of the rioting, not the protesting, but the rioting, the depression, the anger, the frustration, the despair that came through took me back to being 18 years old. It took me back to those images off of Manchester and Inglewood, the images in South Central Los Angeles. It took me back to the place of fear because at Cal State Northridge, we had a SWAT officer come out and speak to the BSU about tactical responses, about making sure we had tennis shoes at the edge of our beds, that we had sweats, preferably not jeans, because if the riots came over the hill, so to speak, where Cal State Northridge was located, they were preparing us for the possibility of what could take place. So the images and everything that was happening took me back to being an 18-year-old and feeling afraid and scared in the world around me. But more importantly, the sadness came because 28 years later, we are still in this state of oppression and frustration, and Black men are being taken out unjustly. And as I voiced that, the tears just started to come down. I realized in that moment that I needed that conversation more than I knew. It is the time to take action. I choose to have simple conversations. I choose to initiate change starting with one person at a time. I choose to initiate change in the way that I know how to do and feel safe to do. We all have a social responsibility to take a stand, to use our voice to say no more. The choices we make today will set the tone for the world we have tomorrow. In addition to encouraging simple conversations, I want to take a moment to address maintaining mental health during this time of crisis. as we are bombarded with negative images on a daily basis, I want to encourage everyone to disconnect sometime throughout the day. Set limits for news intake, and I recommend cutting off the news 1 to 2 hours before bedtime. Negative imagery can stay with you, can sink into your psyche, resulting in sleep disturbances. So please digest something light or funny prior to bedtime. Next, give yourself permission to laugh, to do something that is fun. Give yourself permission to experience joy. In times of crisis, one can sometimes feel guilty for experiencing joy when another is in pain. It's okay to make room for joy. Remember, family, it does not have to be one or the other. It does not have to be joy or pain. Life provides room for both. Lastly, I'd like to remind everyone listening to my voice to breathe. If you find yourself spiraling, stop. Close your eyes and breathe. Take a deep breath in, hold for 3 seconds, and push out for 3 seconds. Repeat that step 3 to 5 times. This is a quick grounding technique, allowing for our mind and body to reset. In closing, family, I know that we are in unsettling times. I feel the sadness and anger. I've heard the frustration of not knowing what to do and the hopelessness from others who fear nothing will ever change. I see you, I hear you, I stand among you. And yet, in my sadness, I feel hope for today. For today, it's not just one city crying. Today, it's not just one state crying. Today, it's not even one country crying. The world is crying, and the world has said no more. Thanks again for listening to the Relate and Communicate podcast with your girl, Denedria Banks. As always, if you have any questions, comments, or feedback regarding today's episode, hit me up at relate2019@gmail.com. Relate2019@gmail.com.